About a year ago, actually a little longer than a year ago, an emerging leader reached out to me, sent a letter to me, and said, I'd love the opportunity to come sometime and share at your church. And we had built relationship with he and his wife. Some of you know that back 3 or 4 years ago, Jody and I had the pleasure of being leaders of a group of younger leaders through Elam Fellowship. They call it the Wings Ministry. And we met with these leaders periodically throughout the year to kind of, try to instill in them some principles, good leadership principles, good character principles, things like that, ministry ideas, things like that. And so it was our pleasure during that period of time, a 3-year period of time, to forge a relationship with Chris and Cheryl. And I'm so happy that it worked out for him to come. He's a leader of, maybe some of you have heard it before, he's one of the leaders in the BASIC ministry, which stands for Brothers and Sisters in Christ. They are on college campuses all across, especially the eastern part of the United States. And I'm wondering if, as he comes this morning, if you would just give him a warm arcade welcome as he shared God's word with us this morning. Thank you.
Well, good morning. It is so good to be with you. This is actually my first time ever coming to Arcade, and so I'm really excited to be here. The energy here is awesome. Wasn't that amazing being in the presence of the Lord this morning? Wow. I was just blown away as we were in worship, and it's just such a privilege to be here with you this morning. As Pastor Jeff mentioned, I have a wife, beautiful wife. I married my high school sweetheart. We've been married 9 years, and we have three wonderful children, a daughter who's 5, a son who's 2, and a little baby girl who just turned 6 months today, actually. And so I like to tell people, because we have 3 kids, 5 and under, that walking into our house is kind of like walking into Chuck E. Cheese. It's just complete chaos, you know, right? So it can be a little crazy at times, and unfortunately my wife and kids weren't able to come today because we've had some sickness going through the house this past week and things, so they were a little bummed that they couldn't be here with you this morning, but I can always show you pictures or anything afterwards if you want to see pictures of my family. Some people love that. So I've got pictures, of course, because I'm a dad, right? So I'm just so grateful to be here. I just want to thank Pastor Jeff and Pastor Josh for having me and just allowing me this opportunity to be with you guys this morning. And as Pastor Jeff mentioned, I work with BASIC College Ministries. So we're on about 30 different college campuses all across the Northeast ministering to students. And I wanted to just share one story about that real quick. I won't take the whole time. I could talk about our ministry with college students all day because there's just so many awesome things happening. But I just wanted to share one story with you to just encourage you about what God is doing on college campuses, because a lot of times we look at college campuses and we think it's just a really hard place to do ministry and to see God move and to see things happening. They're very liberal environments and all this stuff, and that's a lot of that is true, but God is moving on college campuses, and I want you to be encouraged if you're sending your young people that God is moving on college campuses. And so just one story that I'll share with you. Back in the fall, there was a Japanese student who was studying abroad, came to SUNY Brockport, just north of Rochester, and he was studying there and somehow got to befriend somebody in the BASIC group there, one of our groups on the campus. And this friend started asking him, hey, will you come to BASIC? Will you come to BASIC? Will you come to BASIC? And finally, after a couple weeks, he decided to come to BASIC. And so he comes to BASIC, and we have one of our staff people who's been helping out with that group. And she starts talking with him. His name is Ren, this Japanese student. And she starts talking with him and sharing with him about the gospel. And she's sharing with him and talking with him, but there's a language barrier. And he says he's getting it, but it just doesn't seem like it's quite sinking in, like he's fully understanding what she's saying. And so after they left the meeting, she became friends with him on Facebook. And she started chatting with him on Facebook. And she would go on Google Translate and use Google Translate to translate back and forth between Japanese and English. And she begins sharing the gospel with him, and over the course of 2 days, they're going back and forth using Google Translate, sharing the gospel. And he came to a point where he said, wow, if this is the God that you serve, if Jesus would do that for me, for free, for nothing, then of course I want to be a Christ follower. Of course I want to be a Christian. And right there over Facebook, she got to pray with him to receive Christ. And God is moving on college campuses. And I want to encourage you with that today, that he can even pull somebody from Japan, thousands of miles across the ocean, here to the United States, where he has a plan and a purpose for his life and his heart. And now that guy is getting plugged into our basic group there and being discipled at Brockport. So like I said, I could share tons of stories with you, but that was just one that I wanted to share to encourage you as we get started this morning. And as we start out, I wanted to start by asking you a question. Have you ever been called impatient? Have you ever been called impatient? Yeah. As a child growing up, I was constantly called impatient. It kind of became this like running joke in our family. We would go to the grocery store and there would be a line in the grocery store. Maybe we'd go to amusement park and there was a line to get on the rides. At the grocery store, I'd be looking around, where's a better line, right? Like we're stuck here and I don't want to have to wait any longer, right? You guys do that. You've done that before, right? Where's the better line? Where can I get through faster? Or at the amusement park, well, we'll just go on to the other ride. Let's go find a better ride, right? You have those times where you just get impatient, and it just became a running joke in our family when we'd come to those times where my family would all look at me and go, oh, Chris, you gonna make it? You gonna make it? And so I was just, for some reason, I was so impatient as a child growing up. But let me tell you, getting married, having children, right? That's kind of weeded out some of that impatience in my life. I had to change. I had to get over it a little bit, right? But there was something when we moved to Lima, which is where we live now. That's where we moved to in 2009 to work with Basic. And when we moved to Lima in 2009, there was something that happened that really tested my patience. We moved to Lima, and we move into this apartment complex, and we've been living there for a little while, and my wife finds out that in this apartment complex, they have a piece of land set aside for the owners to have, or the tenants, to have a garden. And my wife loves to cook and to bake. She's an incredible chef and just does all this stuff. And for her, like, the ultimate dream is to grow fresh produce in the garden, pull fresh produce out of the garden in the morning and go cook a meal with it that night, right? And put together this amazing meal. Now, I love to eat the meals. That's the part that I really enjoy. But as far as cooking, I've got no skills. As far as gardening, I just did not have any desire to garden. But she came to me and she said, Chris, let's do a garden. And I thought to myself, that sounds horrible. I'm sorry to anybody out there who enjoys gardening, but it is just not my thing, okay? And like I said, I am very impatient. So the thought of getting out there and gardening and just being out in the garden all day, it just did not strike my fancy. But I love my wife, and I've learned through a couple years of marriage that you should really try to encourage your spouse and try to support your spouse. And so I said, okay, honey, let's go to the store. And so we go to the store, and we pick up the seeds, and we pick up all the supplies, the fertilizer, all this kind of stuff. And we come back, and we start putting our garden in, right? And for a whole day, we're out there digging around and putting seeds in and watering and getting it all ready. And then time goes by, right? But every single day, you got to go out there and you got to water twice a day, in the morning, at night, and eventually the weeds start coming up. There's no plants coming up yet. These seeds that you've put in the ground, nothing's happening. But of course, the weeds are coming up, right? So we're going out there under the hot, scorching sun, breaking our backs. I don't understand why anybody does this, okay? And we're pulling weeds out of the ground, and I'm going, why did I ever sign up for this? And the whole time I'm going, I'm watering, I'm weeding, nothing is happening. So impatient, right? But weeks go by, and finally, we start to see something happening. Finally, plants start coming out of the ground, right? I would love to tell you that this was like the best thing ever, that we got so excited. This was amazing. By the end of the summer, the deer had eaten more of our garden than we had. We learned the hard way, right? And so my wife and I, we now have an agreement that we just go to the Rochester Public Market a couple times a summer, let somebody else do all the work for us, I'll pay as much as she wants, and we'll get as much produce as she wants. And that's how I've decided to get the fresh produce from now on. But I just could not handle the impatience that was required to grow a garden. And you know, we live in a now culture, right? Where everything happens for us right away. And for me especially, planting a garden was just not that now kind of thing that I was looking for, right? But we can do almost anything in a blink of an eye. In fact, we expect it, right? If you go on your computer or your TV, you can pull up a movie or a TV show on Netflix and be watching it instantly, right? With Apple Pay now, I love Apple Pay. You can go into the grocery store or to McDonald's. I can pay with my fingerprint in 2 seconds for what I do, and I always feel so cool when I do it, too. I'm just like, bam, paid for, right? It's just so neat. And how about a website? Like, if a website doesn't load in 2 seconds or less, something is wrong with my computer, right? Something is going on. I need to go diagnose what's going on with the internet, right? We just get so frustrated because we live in this now culture. Now, some of you might remember the days of dial-up, right? Where you actually had to connect to the internet, right? Wave your hand at me if you remember the days of dial-up. Okay, quite a few of you. All right, so, yeah, you're still on it. All right. Okay. Honestly, up until a couple years ago, my grandparents were still on dial-up internet. And so you young people in the room, you may not understand, you didn't used to just have internet connected all the time. You had to go to the computer, tell it to connect to the internet, and then it would make these crazy noises, you know, all this kind of stuff, as it's connecting, and you're waiting 5 minutes for it to just connect to the internet before you can even go to a website. And I cannot tell you how frustrating and just terrible that was. And so I'm thankful for broadband internet. But let me just tell you, we live in this now culture where all these things are happening for us all the time, and they happen on the blink of an eye. But there's some things that just never change. There's some things that still take time in our lives. And that's what I want to be talking about this morning. I want to talk about how good fruit takes time. Good fruit takes time. And we're going to be reading out of John chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, you can open up there. We're also going to put the scriptures up on the screen for you this morning. And we're going to be talking about the portion of scripture where Jesus is sharing about the vine and the vine dresser, a very famous portion of scripture where he's talking about being connected to the vine. And Jesus has been talking with the disciples. He's just told them about how he will be leaving them. And he's telling them about how he's going to send them the Holy Spirit. And so he's talking to them about how this is going to happen, how he's going to be leaving all this stuff, but he wants to make sure that they don't forget him. He wants to make sure that he shares with them the importance of staying connected with him when he's back up in heaven, staying connected with our Father. And so that's what leads us to John chapter 15, and we'll start right in verse 1. Let's read this together. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit." And so here's the first thing that I want us to gather this morning as we're talking about this concept of good fruit takes time, is that pruning leads to blooming. Pruning in our lives is what leads to blooming. You know, we're quick to look for fruit, something to show us that things are going the way we want them to, something to show us that we're doing the right thing, that we're where God wants to be and all this stuff. But sometimes God needs to do some pruning in our hearts and in our lives first. Have you ever had a time in your life where things don't seem like they're going the way that God would want them to go? Because they're certainly not going the way that you want them to go. Have you ever been there? But when you take time to just stop and to listen, he says, "Hey, just keep trusting me." Man, those are challenging times, right? When God does that. And I think of Joseph in the Bible. Joseph was the perfect example of somebody who went through some serious pruning, right? Joseph had big dreams and visions, but his character wasn't quite established yet. It wasn't quite ready for what God had for him. And in Genesis, we read that Joseph, when he dreamed that his older siblings were bowing down to him, he used no discretion in telling them about it, right? He just was so excited to show them, to tell them about what God was telling him. And he displayed enthusiasm and eagerness to tell his brothers about this. And I almost picture Joseph like that annoying little kid on the playground who just always thinks his dad is better than everybody else's dad, you know? And I just picture him as this guy who just wanted to go out and brag about what God's doing. And there was nothing wrong with him being excited about what God was doing, but the way he went about it, you could tell his character wasn't established yet. And so it would take many years and many pruning events for Joseph to get where he needed to be, right? He was sold into slavery. He was thrown into prison. Eventually, he was appointed to these huge administrative responsibilities, but he had to go through all these different things to cut back his pride and to shape his character. Here's the cool thing. At the end of his life, Joseph bore the fruit of such pruning. He was somebody who was a wise leader. He was humble. He had forgiveness towards his brothers and his father, and he was wise. And it was really cool. In his dying blessing, his father actually pronounced over Joseph that Joseph was a fruitful vine. How cool is that? But he had to go through a lot of pruning to get to that part, a point. And we want to see fruit in our lives, and we want to see it right away. But in order to bear fruit, this says right here in John 15 that we must first be pruned. No one likes pruning, right? Nobody enjoys the thought of being pruned. But it's not as terrible as you might think, even though it might not feel that great at the time. Because we often think of pruning as cutting things off. And that is part of what God does in our lives. He cuts things off. But it's really interesting. He says here, any branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And what's interesting, when I started studying this portion of Scripture, I realized that that word is actually the Greek word airo. I practiced that pronunciation for you. You got to roll the R. Airo, okay? It means to actually lift up. It doesn't mean to cut away, which is really interesting. And so the idea is that the father comes through, the vine dresser comes through, and he lifts up the unproductive vines off the ground. This is actually common in vine dressing. This is why when you drive past a vineyard, all of the vines are up, right? Somebody's come through, they've used stakes, they've used wire, and they've trained the vine to go a certain way because vines don't grow that way on their own. But they need to be lifted up to get closer to the sun, to receive more light, to be able to bear more fruit. And so I love that this, as I was looking at this portion of Scripture, I was realizing when God's talking about pruning us, he's not talking about just cutting away things in our lives, and certainly there's times for that, right? There's times where we need sin and different issues cut out of our lives, but it's actually talking about God lifting us up, encouraging us, bringing us closer to the Father so we can be more like him, so that we can bear good fruit in our lives. And I love that God is so patient and so gentle with us. He knows that good fruit takes time. I'm so thankful that God is more patient with me than I am with my garden, right? Because if he treated me the way I treat my garden, I'd be in a lot of trouble, okay? He's more patient with me than I am with myself most of the time. I'm sure some of you can relate to that. And so we see pruning as a negative, but God sees it as an improvement. He sees it as bringing us closer to him. And just like with Joseph, I want to encourage you this morning, if you feel like things are taking longer than you want them to take in your life, I want to encourage you that God is working in your waiting. God is working in your waiting. There might be things happening and you're starting to go, why aren't things happening the way I want them to? Why aren't they moving as fast as I'd like? Why am I not to this place yet? And God is working in your waiting. Pruning leads to blooming. He's doing something underneath the surface that we don't always realize. And you see, we, and really the world, we judge ourselves based on our fruit. But in order to have fruit, we must first establish our roots by abiding in him. By abiding in him. Let's continue to read here in John 15, picking it up in verse 3. He says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, sometimes we think so much about what we are to do, the fruit, that we neglect thinking about who we are to be, the roots that God wants us to lay down in our lives. And something I've learned about God is that he cares far more about developing our character than he does about us doing the right thing. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever noticed that about God? He cares far more about developing our character than he does about us doing the right thing, because he knows that good character is what leads us to right actions. It's what leads us to doing the right things. And that's why if you talk to somebody who has a habitual sin, they have something that they just feel like they can't get over, they tend to focus on the action, but they don't always deal with the heart, the bottom issues that need to be attacked first. And it's interesting, if you think about the other biblical passage that's famous for talking about fruit, it's the fruit of the spirits, right? The fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all these different things, right? And that's what's interesting about that is it's all of these inward things that it's talking about that develop our character and then produce good fruit outwardly. And so God wants to get at our character. He wants to develop some roots in us today. I really believe that. And so apart from him, we can do nothing is what it says in this scripture. And I love that God says that to me, because I've tried to do it on my own before and it never goes the way I want it to. And so I can take peace in this, right? I could take encouragement in coming back to this and going, wait a second. He told me, for apart from him, I can do nothing. How encouraging is that? And so we see the second thing that I want you to take away from this morning is that there's no striving when you're abiding. There's no striving when you're abiding in him. He actually tells us not to try and work so hard at it ourselves, because we won't get to where we want to be if we try to do it ourselves. And striving, you know, when you think of striving, it's about working hard. It's about making sure something happens, doing everything you can to do it on your own. And there's nothing wrong with working hard, right? Don't hear me wrong. I'm not encouraging you to be lazy this morning, okay? There's other portions of scripture that speak to that. But there's something in our hearts that when we try to do it all on our own, when we try to do it apart from him, apart from the vine, that we don't get to where we need to be. It never goes the way we want it to. In fact, a lot of times we end up hurting ourselves, or we end up hurting others around us. And so I want to encourage you, there's no striving when you're abiding. Let's focus on abiding in him. We need to lay down those deep roots first as a result of abiding in God. We need to develop our character. And I recently heard about bamboo and how giant bamboo grows. And this is really interesting. I wanted to share this with you because I think it perfectly illustrates this point, okay? Now, giant bamboo does not grow in any way that I would have expected it to grow, okay? When you plant giant bamboo, you put the seeds in the ground and you start to water it and tend it and take care of it, and you do all this work, and in the first year of working for giant bamboo, working to grow giant bamboo, nothing comes out of the ground. You spend a whole growing season putting the time in, putting the effort in. I could never do this, okay? And nothing comes out of the ground. The second year, I got a little chart here for all of you people who like visual graphic representation here, all right? So the second year, you continue to work at it. Imagine this. You're putting all this labor into it. You're out into the sun like I was with my garden. You're weeding. You're putting the water in. You're doing everything you think you should be doing. And you start to see a shoot of 3 to 6 inches. You start to go, okay, I've spent 2 years on this. Maybe something is kind of worthwhile here. And if you're more patient than I am, you keep going. And you go into the third year, and you work again, and you're working hard, and you're putting the time in again, and you see 8 to 12 inches of growth. And if I'm in that situation, I'm going, I thought they called this giant bamboo, right? This does not make any sense. Is this a giant? I don't know. Anyways, we'll just keep going. So in the fourth year, you put all that time and effort again in, and you start to see a little bit more growth. It gets to 12 to 18 inches, and you're thinking, this would be a nice houseplant, right? This would be perfect to put on my windowsill or whatever. And so, but it's not giant bamboo. Something doesn't seem like it's making sense here. But something amazing happens in the fifth year if you can hold on and make it to the fifth year. Because giant bamboo has created this incredible underground root system, it grows over 2 feet per day in the fifth year. Take a look at this. You've gone through 4 years, and in one day, you've got more growth than you had in 4 years. Isn't that incredible? In 3 or 4 months, it hits over 100 feet tall. Amazing, right? And so I want to encourage you this morning to focus on your roots. Maybe you've been going through years of a struggle. Maybe there's something you've been banging your head on the wall and you're striving, you're trying to make something happen, and you're just not getting to where you think you need to be. God is developing roots in you. He's developing your character. He's doing something deep within you so that someday you can hit 100 feet of growth, so that you can soar to new levels in Him. I could never grow bamboo. Man, it's crazy, but God wants to do something like bamboo in our lives, and if we want to see success, we must trust that God is developing roots in us, even when it seems like nothing is happening. Now, scholars believe that Jesus' ministry on earth was 3 to 4 years. Okay, that means, if you think about it, that means the disciples were being developed and growing their roots for 3 to 4 years before really stepping into the calling and the ministry that God had given them. Now, this is coming from guys who are walking with Jesus in person every single day, and it still took them 3 to 4 years before they were ready to step out into what God had given them to do. It takes time. We need to trust that God's doing something in us. I was on a morning walk. Like I said, I'm in Lima is where I live. If you haven't been to Lima, it's way smaller than Arcade. It's this a little rinky-dink town with one stoplight and more cornfields than there are people kind of thing. And I went out for a morning walk one day, just spending some time with the Lord praying, and just, it was really early in the morning. It was, it was quiet, and you're just walking around. You don't hear anything. And so I'm just spending time with the Lord and walking. But then all of a sudden, I started to hear noises, and I had to strain my ears. What is that? And I stopped, and we're about 30 miles away from Rochester, but as I stopped, I could hear the sounds of the hustling and bustling of people going to work in Rochester. Just far off in the distance, I could hear it. All of a sudden, as I listened, I heard some construction noises, construction trucks beeping and different things happening. And it was in that moment that God spoke to me, and He said, even though it may seem like nothing is happening in your life, even though it might seem like things are completely quiet, I'm working in the background. It may seem distant, sometimes so distant to even know that it's happening, but I'm here. I'm moving. I'm doing something, even if you're not always aware of it. And so there's no striving when you're abiding in Him. When you're putting Him first and foremost, and you're taking time to spend with Him in His Word and listening to Him and hearing what He has to say for your life. And something I've noticed is that fruit bearing is impossible in our lives without abiding in Him. But when we begin to abide in Him, fruit bearing is inevitable. Isn't that awesome? It goes from being impossible to being inevitable. It's gonna happen. And so I want to encourage you, don't worry about striving, but abide in Him. Let's continue to read in John 15, because there's one more thing that we can pull out of this here. Picking it up again in verse 6, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That doesn't sound too good. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Did you catch that promise in there? Whatever you wish, it will be done for you if you abide in me. What a powerful promise that he gives us. And I love that he says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. He's saying, I want you to bear fruit. I don't want to keep you stuck in limbo forever. I want you to have fruit going on in your life. And so as he gives that promise, whatever you wish, it'll be done for you. This is the third thing that I want you to take away this morning. Stay the course, and you'll reap the rewards. Just like that farmer who's growing giant bamboo has to stay the course and he'll reap the rewards. If you stay the course in your life, if you continue to press into God and into what he's saying for your life and continue to be faithful where he's called you to be faithful, you're going to reap the rewards. But don't compare yourself to others around you. How easy is it for us to get into the comparison game, right? And we start to look at other people around us. We say, why can't I be like that person? Or why can't I have the same things that they're doing, right? And we start to look at them and go, why aren't they going through what I'm going through? Am I doing something wrong? Did I not obey God in this area or that area? Listen, he may not be challenging them in the same areas as he's challenging you. But he's working on something in them too. You're just not aware of it. You don't know what's going on in their lives. So don't compare yourself. Stay the course, and you'll reap the rewards. Investment now will pay rewards in the future. Don't sacrifice your future for your present. Young people especially, hear me on this one. Don't get so focused on your present that you're willing to sacrifice your future. It's so important for us to take hold of that, to realize that. Now, my father is a financial advisor, and so I heard about the stock market growing up and all these different things, and so when I heard about this recent, this story that I was shared about a financial writer was sharing, I wanted to share it with you guys because I thought it was really interesting. His name is Ben Carlson, the financial writer, and he wrote about this awful, what he called, or most perhaps the most unlucky investor, and we're just going to call him Bob for the sake of this story. Now, Bob was unlucky, and you're about to find out why, okay? Because Bob made his first investment in the stock market in the beginning of 1973. And this was right before a 48% crash for the S&P 500. Now, Bob could have gotten all fearful and pulled his money out, but he said, you know what? I'm just going to leave it where it is. I'm just going to try to trust the system, okay? So he held on to the stocks after the drop. He saved during that time a total of $46,000, and he didn't get up the gumption to commit that savings into the stock market again until September 1987. So he puts in $46,000 more right before a 34% crash. Okay, remember, he's the most unlucky investor out there, okay? So then Bob continued to hold tight. He made only two more investments before retirement. The first one came right before the 2000 crash, and then the next one came right before the 2007 crash. Bob is not doing so hot, right? Don't go gambling. Don't go to Vegas with Bob, okay? Bob is having trouble here. But so how did Bob do after these 42 years of epic market misfortune? Actually, he made money. What's interesting is as the market successively made record highs, as Bob left his money in there and just decided, I'm just going to trust the system to somehow work out, Bob turned the $184,000 he had invested over those 30-plus years into $1.16 million for a total profit of $980,000. Wow. Stay the course, and you'll reap the rewards. It even makes sense in the stock market when some things just don't make sense in the stock market, right? Okay? Stay the course, and you'll reap the rewards. A couple years ago, I had an opportunity come up where I had this job position that came up that I really wanted to get this job. I was really excited about it. It was something that I was passionate about, and I said, hey, I want to do this. And so I put my name in for it, and I was praying about it and trusting the Lord, and I really felt like God was telling me that this was going to be what he was doing, and this was going to be the next season of our lives and what I'd be putting my time and attention into and everything. And as we went through the process, it became very evident that this was not going to be the job that I got, that I wasn't going to get this position. And that was really challenging for me in that season. It wasn't that they had any, the people who were doing the interviews and stuff, they said to me, Chris, it's not that we have any issue with you, we just don't feel like this is what God is saying for this time. And that was really tough for me. And I had to decide in that situation, when that happened, how am I going to respond? This was something that I had dreamt about, something I thought about a lot. And I had to decide how was I going to respond. But as I decided to stay the course, as I decided to trust that God still knew what he was doing, that I could just receive from him, those next couple years of my life, God just did an incredible thing in me. He developed more roots. He developed more character. He taught me new things. And I really look back and I see that season as one of the biggest periods of growth that I've ever been through in my life. Because I chose to stay the course, and in doing so, I was able to reap the reward. When you're facing a difficult situation, or when you feel like you're not seeing progress, you have a choice as to how you're going to respond. Joseph had to decide how to respond, right? When he was in the middle of that whole situation, none of us have been thrown into slavery or sold into slavery. None of us have had to go through something that challenging, and yet Joseph was still able to make it. I think we can make it too. We have to choose, though, how we're going to respond. We have to choose not to give up, not to quit, to stay the course, and to trust that we're going to reap the rewards. So let's sum it up this morning. As we've talked about, good fruit takes time. So that you can remember as you walk away this morning, pruning leads to blooming. There's no striving when you're abiding in him, when you're taking the time to be in his presence and to hear what he has to share with you. Stay the course, and you'll reap the rewards. And maybe some of you feel like you're a car on an on-ramp waiting to get onto a highway. Maybe you feel like you're just stuck there and there's so much traffic going by that you're never going to get to where you need to go. Cars just keep coming. There's no space for you to get in. Now, have you ever been in a situation like that? You can jump the gun. You can pull out, right? Maybe wiggle into a small space that really wasn't the best way to get in. Hopefully, you'll get there okay. You'll be safe. You might cause an accident. But even if you do get in there safe, you'll frustrate all the other drivers around you. Trust me, I've been the driver who's had people pull out in front of me, right? Or you can be patient. You can wait for the right opening. You can wait till God makes a space just for you and tells you to go. You can trust that he knows better than you know, that he's got better plans for your life than you could ever imagine for yourself. And you can be patient and wait for him to bear that good fruit in your life and to see what he's doing in the season you're in right now. I want to pray for you. Why don't you just close your eyes with me right now? Maybe as I've been sharing this morning, things have been coming to mind and you're saying, yeah, I'm struggling. Maybe you're saying, why haven't I found the one? You know, maybe, why haven't I found that person? I want to be married so bad. Or why aren't I seeing more favor at work? Maybe you've been asking God for a child. You're saying, God, why don't we have children yet? What are you doing? Maybe you have struggles at home where you just find yourself lashing out at your children or your wife. And you're just saying, why do I get so angry? Why am I struggling with this so much? Why don't I have more money? Or why can't I find freedom in this one area, this one sin that I keep struggling with over and over and over again? And I want to encourage you that this morning, God is doing something in you. He's developing roots in you, character in you. He's pruning you so that you can bloom. You just need to turn yourself towards him. Turn into him and abide in him. Don't try to accomplish things on your own. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Stay the course and you'll reap the rewards. God, I thank you that you have a plan that you crafted before we were in the womb for each and every person in this place. That you know what you're doing even when we feel like nothing is happening. Even when we feel like all the roads are not pointing in the direction we want them to go, when we feel like we're stuck on that on-ramp and we can't get to where we need to be, you're working in it. Just like with Joseph, you're working in our waiting. Help us to see that. Help us to trust you. Encourage us today, Lord. Help us not to quit. Help us not to give up when things get challenging. Draw us closer to your heart, God. Speak to us. Show us what you're doing, Father. But in the midst of that, just help us to abide in you. We trust you and we thank you for who you are. You are such a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for having me.